every smoker knew what Philip Morris smokers know, laid all change to Philip Morris.
What are women wearing in shoes this year?
Feet.
Correct. Pay the man $8. What is love?
The 10th word in a telegram.
Correct. Pay the man $9 because...
it pays to be ignorant. Presented by Philip Morris Cigarettes and Johnny. Here comes Johnny, ladies and gentlemen. Johnny, on the spot for Philip Morris, America's finest cigarette. If every smoker knew what Philip Morris smokers know, they'd all change to Philip Morris. Yes, they'd all...
call for Philip Morris!
Johnny, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Once again, we bring you that quiz program which decided the school teachers to go back to work. We have a board of experts who are so dumb, they think a kidney garden is a garden that grows kidney beans. Of course, we have the celebrated author, Mr. Harry McNaughton, who has just written a book entitled Letters to My Father, or How Are Things in Dannemora. But here he is, Mr. Harry McNaughton.
Thank you. Thank you. I have a poem, Mr. Hart.
Yeah, I know that.
I have a poem. Gooey Wooey was a worm. He hadn't any brain. He crawled upon the railroad track, but he didn't hear the train.
Yeah.
Gooey Wooey.
Gooey. Heartbreaking.
Poor worm.
Yeah.
Didn't have a chance to turn.
All right. He didn't have a chance to turn. Next, we have a woman who went to the Isle of Man thinking she could get one there. A woman whose background is spread all over the country, Miss Lulu McConnell.
You know, Mr. Howard, I got a letter from my sister in Kansas City.
That's not...
oh, she had a terrible experience last week.
Yeah, what happened?
Well, she was sitting in a plastic surgeon's office.
Yeah?
She got up for a minute, and someone lifted her seat.
Someone lifted her seat. Well, that couldn't happen to you. All right, next we have a man... next, we have a man who was thrown out of the first grade for growing a beard. A man who was such a tough baby, they used to wear, or rather, he used to wear a bulletproof bib. Here he is, Mr. George Shelton.
Say, Mr. Howard, did you hear about the big explosion down the battery today?
Big explosion at the battery? What happened?
The wind blew up the Hudson.
The wind blew up... those are the experts, folks, so we'll get right on with the first question. Here it is. Pay attention, see if we can get an answer.
Yes, but...
here's the question. If a man went deep-sea fishing in the Atlantic Ocean, what ocean would he be on?
Mr. Hart, that's a geographical question, isn't it?
That's right.
It is?
Yes.
Oh, good. Shall we go on to the next question?
Please.
Boys, the abbot's quick. We're going to get home early tonight.
Wait a minute. Mr. Sheldon, why don't you give your brain back to the moron you stole it off?
I didn't know you missed it.
I... they all agree with you. Next,
why not?
There was no question answered here. The question is about oceans.
Well, I'll never forget my last ocean voyage. It made me so tired. All day long, I sat on the deck they had for tired people.
They had a deck reserved for tired people?
Yep, the poop deck.
Convenient, you know.
Miss McConnell, why don't you pull your ripcord and pull apart? Let's get on here.
You know, the last ship I was on, they stole my clothes when I went to bed.
They stole your clothes?
Yeah.
My, well, where'd you put them?
I put them in a little round closet with a glass door on it.
Mr. Sheldon, you're a sap.
Yeah, I'm a what?
A sap, a sap. What comes out of trees?
Monkeys like you.
Monkeys.
Why didn't I think of that?
All right. Keep laughing, Miss McConnell. Keep laughing. It's the first muscle dance I've seen in years. Now, let's get back to the question.
Yes, let's.
If a man went deep-sea fishing on the Atlantic Ocean, what ocean would it be on? The answer is obvious.
Obvious?
Yes.
Well, what do you know? A new ocean.
A new...
Nice. Where is it located, Mr. Hard?
Where is what located?
The obvious ocean.
Mr. McNaughton, how did you get so stupid?
Well, I started off being a politician, and then I...
All right, never mind. The question's about deep-sea fishing.
Oh, fishing. Oh, I remember one day last summer I went fishing for bluefish. Sat all day, didn't even get a bite.
Didn't it? What kind of hooks did you use?
Oh, are you supposed to use hooks?
My old man once caught a whale.
Yeah, what happened?
He married her.
And he's been a Jonah ever since.
All right, all right. Can we please get back to the question? If a man went deep-sea fishing on the Atlantic Ocean, what ocean would he be on? Do you know anything about deep-sea fishing, Miss McConnell?
No, but I know a song about the deep sea.
You know a song about the deep sea? What is it called?
Deep-sea doodle.
Deep-sea doodle.
Pretty, too. You know, I was on a ship once. Boy, what a ship that was. Had no cabins, no decks, no engine, no bridge, no superstructure.
My word, what a silly ship.
Yeah, it was a hull of a ship.
It was a... Please, Johnny, that's all I can take.
Right on the spot, Mr. Howard.
Good. Suppose you find these three worms, 200 and three Philip Morris cigarettes, and give them to a lady or gentleman in the audience.
Certainly, Mr. Howard.
Thank you. Well, Ken, after that bunch of nonsense, I think we could stand hearing from Ray Porter's Esquires. What do you say?
Well, Tom, right here, waiting to be heard from. Good. Tonight they have their own arrangement of It's a Good Day.
That's a good tune, too.
For it's a good day for singing a song, and it's a good day for moving along. Yes, it's a good day. How could anything go wrong? A good day from morning till night. For it's a good day
for shining your shoes,
and it's a good day for losing the blues.
Everything to gain
and nothing to lose, 'cause it's a good day from morning till night. I said to the sun, good morning, sun, rise and shine today. You know you gotta get going if you're gonna make a showing, and you know you got the right of way. 'Cause it's a good day
for paying your bills,
and it's a good day for curing your ills. So take a deep breath, throw away your bills. It's a good day from morning till night.
Yes, it's a good day
for singing a song,
and it's a good day
for moving along.
Yes, it's a good day.
How could anything go wrong? A good day from morning till night. For it's a good day
for shining your shoes,
and it's a good day
for losing the blues.
Yes, it's a good day.
You've nothing to lose,
and it's a good day
from morning till night.
I said to the sun, good morning, sun, rise and shine today. 'Cause it's a good day for paying your bills, and it's a good day for curing your ills. So take a deep, deep breath, throw away your bills. It's a good day from morning till night.
Good day.
'Cause it's a good day from morning till night.
Good day.
It's a good, 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 good day.
Just a minute, Bud. You, Mr. Howard?
Well, I ain't Gary Cooper, if that's what you mean.
Okay, I'm taking over.
You're what?
You heard me. I'm taking over, and right now.
Oh, I see.
I'm going to put Johnny on the spot. I'd like to ask you, Johnny, why is Philip Morris so much better to smoke?
Here's your answer, sir. It's because the Philip Morris smoker really gets what other smokers only hope to get.
Absolutely right, Johnny. Philip Morris is the only leading cigarette with a distinctly different method of manufacture. Remember that, because it is this difference in Philip Morris that gives the smoker better taste, finer flavor, perfect smoking pleasure.
Yes, it's true.
If every smoker knew what Philip Morris smokers know, they'd all change to Philip Morris. Yes, you too. Change to Philip Morris. change to America's finest cigarette. Always better, better always.
Mighty sound advice, Cat. And now, who is our first contestant this evening, please?
Well, here he is, Mr. Howard. He's a gentleman about 6 foot tall. He's nicely dressed and fairly good looking.
How are you this evening? We're very glad to have you. How are you this evening, sir?
I'm fine, thank you.
Good. Where are you from, would you care to tell us?
Brooklyn.
Brooklyn, I see. That's...
Brooklyn, New York!
Yeah, Brooklyn.
That's right.
Stick a bugle in my mouth and call me Toots.
I see.
I used to work in that town.
Why don't you take a vacation?
No, it's a fact I was an employment agent on a girl's farm.
You were an employment agent on a girl's farm?
I used to can the tomatoes.
I see. Pay no attention to him, sir. He was born on April the 1st, and he's been a fool ever since. Would you mind telling us your name, please?
Milton Berle.
Milton Berle. You're not the Milton Berle.
Yes, that's right, Mr. Howard. I am the Milton Berle.
Good.
Well, I wouldn't worry about it, you know, old boy. It can happen to everybody.
Please, Mr. McNaughton, this is Milton Berle, and we should feel highly honored in having him here as our guest this evening.
Thank you very much, Mr. Howard.
You know, Mr. Berle, I remember the first time I saw you. It was in Chicago. I was there with the Greenwich Village Follies, and you were playing at the Palace. In fact, you were headlined at the Palace. I went over to see you on a matinee. I had heard so much about you.
Well, what did you think of my performance?
Well, suppose we keep the interview on a friendly basis, Mr. Berle.
Well, as long as we're reminiscing, Mr. Howard, I remember seeing you in the Greenwich Village Follies.
Oh, good.
I still remember one scene that you did. I think it was called The Holdup.
That's right. Mm. How did you like the scene?
Let's keep the interview on a friendly basis.
I see. Well, at least we understand each other.
Yeah, we do.
Now, but seriously, Mr. Berle, you know, I always had an idea...
You can call me Milton. You can call me Milton.
Oh, thank you a lot for that privilege.
Thank you a lot. It's my maiden name, anyway.
I see. That'll be a thrill for me to be able to call you Milton. You know, I always had an idea you and I could do a very good act together.
We'd do an act together?
Yes.
Well, what would we call it?
Well, Howard and Berle.
Howard and Berle?
Yes.
But your name is first.
Well, after all, names doesn't mean anything. We could call it Stinky and Pinky.
You still got your name first.
I still... Oh, that's putting the old goat in his place. Tell me, Mr. Berle, I'm very curious. Whatever possessed you to be our guest this evening, the best you can get is around $23 or $24. Surely you're not down to your last million, are you?
Well, all joking aside, Tom, I came up here for some information.
You sure came to the wrong place.
You said it. You want some information.
That's right.
Why don't you dial the operator? She'll give you information.
Please.
You see, Tom, I want to get on the radio.
Oh.
Well, I have a radio. You could sit on it.
Please.
No, you don't understand. I think that I'd like to work for Philip Morris, so I thought perhaps you could tell me how to go about it. I mean, Tom, who would I have to see? After all, you've been with Philip Morris, and you've been doing wonderfully for over 3 years now.
Well, why don't you ask Johnny? He's been with Philip Morris longer than I have.
Don't put me on the spot, Mr. Howard.
I find.
Cute little fellow, isn't he?
Yeah. But no kidding, Mr. Berle. I happen to know that you are going to work for Philip Morris. Yes, sir. Now, tell me, when do you start?
Next week.
Next week? You can't tell us the time next week, can you?
Well...
Huh?
It's between Monday and Wednesday.
Yeah, Monday and Wednesday, I see. That'll give us some inkling.
Yes, that's when I start.
That's when you start.
I don't know when I'll finish.
I see. Well, I wouldn't worry about that, Mr. Berle. Your programs were always entertaining, and I predict you will have a long, pleasant association with Philip Morris.
Well, Tom, I'm not very worried about Philip Morris. It's this fella Hooper that's got me worried.
Oh, yeah. Well, he's had me worried for some time, too. But you know Hooper is...
No.
You know who he is, don't you?
No, no.
Well, Hooper is all the people who listen to radio.
Yeah.
And if the people like Mr. Berle, and they always have... then Mr. Hooper has got to like him also.
Well, thank you very much. That's very encouraging. And I appreciate it. Can I buy you a drink?
Yeah, I'll take a short beer.
Uh-oh. Wait a minute.
Who is that?
That is Miss McConnell.
Oh, yes. She's your mother, isn't she?
My mother. Slight error, Mr. Burrow. My grandmother.
Oh, your grandmother.
And, Mr. Burrow, now to get serious, again, I want to say that you have paid us a really great honor by visiting us this evening.
Well, it was really a pleasure to be here, Mr. Howard.
Thank you.
Oh, sure glad to have you.
Thank Good. You.
Yeah, what's your first name, honey?
First name, honey.
Milton. Yeah.
Pretty name, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Milton.
Yes,
oh, boy, is he tall, handsome. Ooh, ah. Yes. Oh, my, that's a nice name. He's a handsome guy, isn't he?
Yes, he is.
How's your mother?
She's fine.
That's nice. Well, you can just call me Betty Joe.
Betty Joe.
Yep. I'm a fast traveler.
Yeah. But you lost one of your tanks. You know that. Mr. Boyle, I'm sorry she annoyed you. While you're here, would you mind reaching into Johnny's cap and picking out a question for us, please? And we'd like to have you read the question, if you don't mind.
All right, here's the question. From what book of the same name is the picture The Egg and I?
Good. Thank you, Mr. Burrow. Very nicely read. From what book of the same name is the picture The Egg and I?
Who's in the picture, Mr. Howard?
Claudette Colbert and Fred McMurray.
Oh, boy, me and my old man got to see that.
Yeah.
Yes, sir, I'd go for Fred McMurray, and does my old man go for Claudette Colbert?
Yeah, there's a couple of gophers if I ever saw them. Mr. McNaughton, what do you think of The Egg and I?
I hope you'll be very happy together.
I... talking about a book.
Oh, you know, I'm reading a book now.
You're what?
I'm reading a book.
Who's helping you?
What do you mean? What do you mean, who's helping me?
The only book you ever opened had matches between its covers.
Well, I go in for light reading once in a while.
You go in for light reading.
Why would you believe it? I've read some of the best sellers.
You mean you've slept in some of the best sellers. Let's get back to the question. From what book of the same name is the picture The Egg and I?
Mr. Howard, I read a book today. It had 600 pages. I read it in 5 minutes.
How could you read a book with 600 pages in 5 minutes?
The pages were stuck together.
The pages.
So I took it back to
it. Never mind.
My old man's always writing.
Yeah, what does he write?
He's always writing names.
Names?
Yep, sometimes he spends weeks just writing one name on a slip of paper. Then he takes it to the bank and they give him money for it.
I see. Have the police found out about this?
Oh, sure. One time the police came over to our house and told my old man he was so good at writing names, they wanted him to go over to the station house and do a whole sentence.
I see.
Well, tell me, Miss McConnell, did he go?
Yeah, but he told me he didn't like the room they gave him. It was full of water.
Full of water?
Well, he keeps writing me to come over and bail him out.
I
enjoy them.
You know, my nephew wrote a poem about me.
Yeah, what's the name of it?
Under the Spreading Chestnut Tree. Now, if you step in here and give our good friend, Mr. Burrow, $23.30 for his present. Now, Mr. Burrow, I'm just curious. What are you going to do with all that money?
Well, my agent gets 10%. Buy an annuity with the rest.
Oh, I can imagine. Well, thank you, Milton, for being with us, and good luck to you on your new Philip Morris show.
Thank you, Tom, and good night, everybody.
Thank you. Well, Ken, can you prevail upon Harry Salter to play something for us this evening?
Well, that's easy, Tom. Tonight he goes Latin on us by playing the carioca.
Good.
It pays to remember this important fact. No other leading cigarette compares with Philip Morris, because no other leading cigarette is made the Philip Morris way. Yes, Philip Morris is the only leading cigarette made differently. Made so the Philip Morris smoker really gets what other smokers only hope to get. Better taste, finer flavor, perfect smoking pleasure. Yes, it's true.
If every smoker knew what Philip Morris smokers know, they'd all change to Philip Morris, America's finest cigarette.
Thank you. No truer words were ever spoken. Well, Ken, who is our next visitor this evening?
Our next visitor is coming to the microphone now, Tom, and I should like to present to you Sylvia Shevitz, and here she is.
Well, good evening, Miss Shevitz. Good evening, Miss Shevitz, and welcome to our program. How are you this evening?
Fine, thank you.
Well, we're glad to hear that. Do you live in New York?
In the Bronx.
Oh, in the Bronx. Fine. Where are you from originally? From New York?
From the Bronx.
From the Bronx.
That's
you've
right.
been there, you've lived there all your life,
most
I suppose,
of my life.
Up to now. I
That's
see,
right.
That's fine. Do you like it in the Bronx?
I certainly do.
You do?
Why?
Why, Mr. Sheldon. Mr. Sheldon, will you please keep your mouth shut? I'm sorry for the interruption, Miss
Shevitz. Well, keep my mouth shut. How am I going to breathe?
I see. Breathe through your nose. Are you married, Miss Shevitz?
Do you breathe through your nose?
Yes. How long have you been married?
Well, why don't you keep your mouth shut?
Please. Will you stop these interruptions? If I keep my mouth shut, this would be a pretty sad program.
Hates himself, don't he?
I see. Tell me, have you heard this program at home?
I have.
Oh, you've heard it. You listened in. Well, we thank you for that. Yes.
Do you like it?
Very much.
Why?
Like it? Just talking to the mic.
Very much.
Why
do you like
it?
Why do
you
like
that? How'd you say?
Why do you like it?
What is this double talk going on here? Let's get organized.
Mr. Hart, who's winning?
I don't know. That's why I'm confused here.
I'd just
like to find out what the score is.
I'd like to butt in and ask the lady who she likes best on the program.
Oh.
Me or Mr. McNaughton.
Uh-huh. I see.
Yes, or Mrs. McNaughton's husband.
Okay, that's quite a choice you've given the lady.
Thank you.
Pay no attention to them. I won't keep you waiting here so long. Let me tell you something. That is, how long? You say you've lived in the Bronx all your life up to now.
Most of the
time. And you're
most
married.
Of the time. Yes, sir.
I see. Do you have much trouble? That is, do you let your husband stay out as long as he likes to?
I do.
You do?
Why?
Well, that's fine.
Why?
Why? Never mind. Is that all you can say is why?
I want to get some information. I might get married someday.
Oh, you might.
I know something.
Look, the boat has sailed. It's too late for you to get married, Mr. Sheldon.
Well, I can make a trip and see.
You can make a trip. I wish you would make a trip and fall on your ear. You're interrupting the young lady here. I hope you'll pardon the interruptions. Would you do us a favor while you're here and reach into Johnny's cap there and pick out a question for us, please? And would you be kind enough to read it if you don't mind?
Yes. In a dice game, what are the little white cubes with black...
Can't read?
...dots on them called?
Good. Thank you. I don't blame you for not being able to read that. Sheldon wrote it, so I can see. In the dice game, what are the little white cubes with the black dots on them called?
Wouldn't be dominoes.
It wouldn't be dominoes.
That's what I said. It wouldn't be dominoes.
I know you did.
Did you say they had spots on them?
That's right. Spots on them. Now, what are they?
Leopards, Mr. Howard. Leopards.
Did you ever play dice with a leopard?
No, but I played cards with a shark.
You played...
You played cards with a shark?
Yeah.
How'd you make out?
The shark lost a fin.
The shark... Mr. Sheldon, I wish you'd play ping pong with a hand grenade sometime.
I wanted to play solitaire the other night.
You wanted to play solitaire?
Yep, but there was nobody to play with.
Oh, so you couldn't play. Isn't that too bad?
Yeah.
You wanted to play solitaire, no one. Oh, please, the question's not about cards, it's about the game of dice.
You know, Mr. Hart, I taught my wife to play dice. Oh, it's a wonderful idea.
Yeah, how come?
Last week I won half my salary back.
I'm surprised as you, Mr. McNaughton. You have the face of an honest man.
Yes, I know. He lost it to me in poker.
I see.
You know, my father was a great gambler. Oh, he was a great man, too.
Did he start at the bottom?
That's the way he dealt.
Uh-huh. Well, he sure had a missed deal when he had you. Miss McConnell, Miss McConnell, did you ever shoot craps?
I should say not. They've got just as much right to live as anybody else.
Miss McConnell, do me a favor. Step in front of a steamroller sometime. You'd make a lovely bookmark.
Oh, you little flatterer.
Thank you. Can we please get back to the question?
You know, I had a funny dream last night, though. Yeah. I dreamt they were auctioning off mouths.
Yeah, auctioning off mouths?
Yeah, there was Betty Grable's mouth, Leonard Turner's mouth, Joan Crawford's mouth.
Was my mouth there?
That's where they were holding the auction. Johnny, will you step in here again and give our good friend $26.70 for helping us out? Also, 202 Philip Morris cigarettes.
Say, Mr. Howard.
Don't go away, folks. I'll return. Meanwhile, here is that ignorant baritone from the marshlands of Teterboro to tell you what we mean when we say...
It pays to get to it. Stupid, dumb, stupid, ignorant. It pays to be ignorant just like me. Each week I earn $6. My brain is terribly lax. But when there ain't no income, then there ain't no income tax. So you see, it pays to be ignorant. Have no brain, be an ain't, just be ignorant. It pays to be ignorant just like me.
This is Johnny again reminding you to try Philip Morris. Yes, for perfect smoking pleasure.
Goodbye, Johnny. See you next week. Same time, same station. Listen in Sunday night when Johnny presents Crime Doctor over these same stations. Until then... Pipe smokers at ease. Take five. Take Revelation. Yes, enjoy Revelation pipe tobacco, a blend of five glorious tobaccos. Load up, light up, and take five. Take Revelation.
Well, folks, it wasn't really worthwhile coming back, as Mr. Palazzi has just given me the high sign, which means it's high time we were closing up for this evening. But we'll be sneaking in here again next week, same time, same station. We hope you'll all sneak in with us. Thank you for your listening time this evening. Good night and good nonsense.
This is Ken Roberts saying good night for Philip Morris. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
KMX, Columbia Square, Los Angeles.
Draft! Draft! Draft your dishes and oh, how they shine. Shine without wiping in half of the time and look bright. Right! So don't you get left, get draft.
For dishes that shine even without wiping, don't get left, get draft.